This morning, we're continuing a series we began last week, Lessons from the Road, and looking at various examples of people who walked the roads with Jesus and the lessons that we learn from their experience. And as we do that, we come to a lesson from the road that is, well, it's a bit difficult. This road to healing. We struggle with this road to healing because we get sick. We struggle with this road to healing because people die. We struggle with this road to healing because chronic illnesses exist. And there are times where we look at God's word and we think, well, why can't God just take all of this away? And the difficulty is we tend to be somewhat short-sighted. And as one that has lived in my early adult life with a chronic illness, as one who raises a daughter with chronic illness, I rest in much comfort from a God that heals in a way that perhaps looks different than what I wanted. You see, we like to define God and His actions according to what we want. And this God that heals is a God that looks at the bigger picture than what I can see. This morning, we're going to spend most of our time in John chapter 5 looking at one of these stories. And the great thing about the New Testament and the examples of Jesus is the New Testament is filled with stories of Jesus on the road healing someone. Now, the difficulty is we see that moment of healing and we wonder and we sometimes question, just like the song earlier did, why not me? And when we ask that question too long, I think sometimes we miss the healing that God has given us. In the midst of this story that we're going to look at, it's the subtitle of the message this morning, Jesus encounters a man who, well, is crippled. A man that's waiting. And the first interaction that we at least read about between Jesus and this man is a question by Jesus. It seems like a strange question. Jesus simply asks, "Do you want to be well?" Now, if you've experienced any kind of sickness, regardless of how minor or major, and somebody comes up and says, "Do you want to be well?" you probably would think in your mind, well, that's a stupid question. Yeah. Of course I want to be well. Well, what kind of question is that? But I believe Jesus asked this question not just for the purpose of this man examining himself, but so that we might examine ourself, that we might ask ourselves that question, do I want to be well? Because sometimes we hold on to things which make us unwell because they're comfortable, because we're not sure what it looks like And so this morning, we're going to look at four areas that I believe helps us to look deeper into this idea of being well, that helps us to understand a little more the healing that God wants us to have. You may not give it a lot of thought, but every individual in the New Testament that was physically healed by Jesus died. I mean, I've not met any of them walking the earth today. We focus on that moment of healing, and we miss the fact that there was something bigger God was wanting to do. I think of the story of the man born blind. A man that the disciples and the crowds wanted to ask Jesus and did ask Jesus. They had kind of determined in their own mind why this man was blind. Somebody sinned. Somebody messed up. You're sick and it has to be somebody's fault. I heard that back when I was dealing with 10 plus years of chronic illness. If you just get rid of the sin in your life, God would make you well. Now, that's some comforting and encouraging advice. Sometimes my comforters felt a lot like Job's comforters. And Jesus turns to his disciples and to the crowds regarding this man born blind, and he says, it wasn't about anybody's sin. This man was born blind in order so that Christ may be, his glory may be revealed to what he's about to do. And sometimes we're able to have glimpses of God's glory displayed in the lives of people who are chronically ill because they allow Jesus to shine through them, even though it's difficult, even though it isn't easy. They learn to walk by faith in a way that an easy life can't teach you. And so we look at God's Word and we walk this road of healing with Jesus and we decide to answer the question, do I want to be well? And if I want to be well, what does that look like? When the cancer diagnosis persists, can I still live as one who is well? And I believe God's call to us today is to join Jesus on this road so that we can truly be well. And I think the first part of acknowledging that we want to be well is to ask ourselves, do I want to be whole? As we look at this, we'll discover the introduction, John chapter 5, the first six verses. He says, sometimes later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews, and now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda. I always find that a fascinating word. For the longest time, I related the word Bethesda to Bethesda Naval Hospital. Our nation named a place of healing after this location in the Bible. This place called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades, and here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Now you may notice or not notice, depending on the translation and edition of your Bible, there's a gap. My Bible, it jumps from verse 3 to verse 5. Yours may continue, verse 4 in mine, they put at the bottom. And it says, there are some earlier manuscripts that don't have verse 4. The later manuscripts, it's in there. They're not quite sure why. But what's missing, at least put as a footnote in mind, says this. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and they waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters, and the first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease he had. Now, I think it's important to understand that belief about this pool. It's why the sick and the lame and the paralyzed would gather around it, because they thought there was a chance. Verse 5, one who was there and had been an invalid for 38 years. And so when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And I think the question that Jesus would ask each of us today is, do you want to be whole? And what does it look like? If God were to mend this part of my body, but leave this part broken. And when I think about this idea of being whole, I think about what Jesus and what God expects from us. The greatest command: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Do you want to be whole, and that not only is your strength healed, your physical body healed, but your emotions, your thoughts? Every fiber of your being. This man was waiting for 38 years for somebody to help him get into this pool. And for whatever reason, he's never made it there. There's some that believe he just gave up. It was easy to just lay there with everybody else that was like him and not even worry about it. He knew he wasn't the fastest. He knew he couldn't move on his own. He knew that somebody would beat him, so why even try? But this realization that people had gathered around this pool because it was their desire to be made whole. It was their desire to be restored. And when we consider that it's more than just disease that destroys us, the thing that which destroys us the most is sin. And sometimes we lay near the pool of Christ, confined by our sin, but comfortable with it to the point we're not doing anything about it. The pool of healing, the blood of Christ is nearby, it's available. I think Jesus would ask, do you want to be whole? Do you want more than just a physical healing? Do you want a spiritual healing, an emotional healing, a thought process healing? When we gather with one another, God's desire is to make us one. We find wholeness in community. We discover that I can endure the difficulties of this life because I'm not enduring it alone. It appears that this man lacked healing because there was no one to help him. And we become whole through the blood of Christ so that we can join with others in expressing the love that God has shown to us. And so whatever you're here today going through, regardless of whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's mental, whether it's spiritual, whether it's some combination of all of those things, of your heart, mind, body, and strength, soul and strength. Do you want to be whole? Do you want to seek and find that wholeness within the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus? The second question I think we ought to consider as we listen to Jesus asking, do you want to be well, is do you want to be embraced? There are so many times we go through life and in the midst of difficulty, we feel isolated. And one of the most damaging tools, I believe, of the enemy is to isolate us from one another to where we begin to think, I'm the only one that's going through this right now. In fact, I'm the only one that's ever gone through this. Nobody understands. And so Jesus continues in verse 7 of John chapter 5. And after, in response to the question of Jesus, do you want to get well? The man responds, sir, I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me. I want to get well, but I can't do it alone. And I often wonder, we don't know, did the man ever ask for help? Some of us are pretty independent-minded. We're pretty prideful. We're pretty much, I know I need help, but I'm not going to ask for it because that would make me look weak. I don't know why in all of this time he couldn't get help. But it brings me to that question that I have for myself, I think for each of us ought to have. Do I want to be embraced? Do I want to live in community with others? Sometimes we look at the world around us and we think the thing is so crazy, I just want to go off grid and nobody be able to find me and just hide out and live life in obscurity. And while that does seem to have some appeal from time to time, it's not how God designed us to live. God designed us for the embrace of others. The physical embrace, the emotional embrace, the spiritual embrace, the sense of belonging. Some of you grew up in families and homes that were very physically involved in hugging and kissing one another and just affectionate in a way that was always on display. Some of us didn't. There was love. My home, I grew up, it was a home filled with love, but yeah, that really wasn't a hugging, touchy-feely kind of family. And so we interact with one another differently based on what we've become comfortable with, but yet we still need that sense of belonging. That embrace, whether it's a physical embrace or not, tells us that we belong, that we're a part of the family. And as we consider the difficulties of life, when we consider the sickness of sin, the question we ask ourselves, do I want to be embraced by Jesus? the one that can bring healing, the one that can restore me, the one that can cleanse me. Sometimes we push against being embraced because we're not comfortable being that close. I think there's times we push against the embrace of Jesus because we're not comfortable being that close to Him. We know what that will mean. If He gets near, He's going to, as if somehow I've hidden it anyhow, He's going to know what's inside. He knows anyhow, so go ahead, let Him near. But do I want the embrace of Christ, and do I want to embrace Him? To ramp up that level of intimacy with my Savior. If I want to be well, I want to be whole, I want to be complete, I want to be who God designed me to be, and I want to be embraced by the living God. Leads us to the third part of, do I want to be well? Do I want to be loved? I believe deep within us, there's always that desire to be genuinely loved. And yet, so many times, we get accustomed to the conditional love of this world. I love you if. I don't love you today because you didn't do this. And the question Jesus has for us is, if you want to be whole, if you want to be embraced, do you really want to experience true love? Verses 8 and 9, John chapter 5, then Jesus says to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is a Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. What a contrast. The love of Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat, walk. The hatred of the religious leaders. You can't do that today. The office is closed. This is a Sabbath. You can't tell this man to pick up his mat. That's working. That lack of love that somehow wanted to condemn the goodness of God at work. And I think about our life. I often tell people, and time to time, that I'm a recovering legalist. It's been much easier through much of my life to be very dogmatic and legalistic about what I believe. And while I believe God's word is true, that we ought to be following it, that we ought to live in obedience to it, it has to be done in love. Because that's the way Jesus did it. He came not to do away with His Father's commands, but to show us how to live them in love with one another. And as you seek to be well, the question that we ask ourselves is, do I want to be loved in the way God loves? And do I want to love others in the way God loves? You see, being well requires me to align myself with God. Because regardless of what physical infirmities continue or what physical infirmities are cured, I'm still in trouble if I'm not right with God. I can be the healthiest person in the world. By any standard that you want to create. And if I have not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and this life comes to an end, I am eternally lost. If I've not put my faith in the one who can save me, being temporarily well in this world has done very little for me. But when I live by the love of Jesus and I express that love to others, all of a sudden, that love of Christ grows in me in such a way that the difficulties, the troubles of this world become as if nothing. Paul writes and he says, I consider all of the troubles of this world to be as nothing compared to the glorious riches which are to come. We tend to endure things if we know the outcome is worth it. It's when we're uncertain of the outcome that we become a little bit frustrated. Why do I have to go through this? It's not accomplishing anything. You know, you're sick. You go to the doctor prescribes something, and you keep taking it, and you keep taking it, and you're just not getting any better. And you think, what in the world am I spending all of my money on this medications for and going through all of this when it's not helping? But when we embrace and are embraced by the love of Christ, we begin to notice and we begin to recognize the eternal outcome is one that brings us into unity with God and unity with one another. And we live as those who are being healed spiritually. And I believe that when we're healed spiritually, the physical ailments that we go through don't carry the same weight any longer. God may remove them from us. He has that power. He has that ability. But so many times He doesn't, and we struggle to understand why not. But sometimes I believe it's similar to what the Apostle Paul says, that in my weaknesses, He was made to be seen strong. And our testimony, when we approach chronic illness, when we approach difficulties of life from God's perspective, we're able to provide comfort and help to those who have a short-term perspective. To be able to say, lift your eyes to the love of God. Understand you're not going through this alone. And that God's love is designed and desires to bring you to completion when you're face to face with Jesus. Do you want to be well? We ask ourselves, do I want to be whole? Do I want to be embraced? Do I want to be loved? And I think we would all gather and say, yes, I want all of that. Final point I want us to consider is if you are well. If Christ has made you well spiritually, if you are restored in right relationship with the living God through the blood of Jesus, do you want to be loud? And I'm not necessarily talking about volume, but that may be part of it. I'm talking about being heard. This man who experienced Jesus on this road to healing, verse 11 down through verse 15, I want us to consider his response. Now, the religious leaders, they're still upset. They says they had told him that he's not allowed to carry his mat, but the man replies, "The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk." I mean, if somebody makes me well, I think I'm going to listen to him. And so they ask him, "Well, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was. For Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. And later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." I don't believe that Jesus is saying that the man's paralysis was due to his sinning. I think he was revealing to him that this physical healing was good, but there was a healing that was better. And we must reject sin as we experience that spiritual healing. Verse 15, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. He could have stuck with his original answer. "I don't know who healed me. I don't want involved in any of your trouble." He could have just left it at that. He did not have to go back to the Jewish leaders after Jesus found him and revealed himself to him. But he did. He went. And he chose to be loud. He chose to be heard. He chose to make it known that it was this Jesus who made me well. And what greater testimony can we have today than to be loud in proclaiming that Jesus has made me well? I think of so many people that I know personally who struggle with physical difficulties that makes life difficult, who continually speak of the goodness of God carrying them through the difficult moments of life. They've chosen to be loud. They're not loud and obnoxious. They're loud and honoring of God. There's a difference. I think we need to be aware of that. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about being disrespectful. I'm talking about making it known. On this road to healing, you found something that is greater than no temporary sickness. There is a day coming when there is no sickness. There is no death. There is no frailty. But until we get there, all of those things exist. And we learn to live life crippled and lame and paralyzed and still live as one who is made well. Because we've been bought by the blood of Jesus. When we begin to live in the midst of the things that we consider to be weaknesses in our life, in a way that gives God glory, in a way that lifts up Him, we discover that being well leads us to being loud, with, as Peter would write, with gentleness and respect. This morning, we come to a time of decision. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never placed your faith in Him and allowed His work on the cross to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that's where this being well begins. I'd love to talk with you. We're going to sing a song in a few moments, and if you need to talk with somebody about that decision to become a believer in Jesus and to put your faith in Him, you can join me in the room to my left, and we can begin that conversation. If you're joining us online, you can call into the church, connect with me, send a message. We can connect up. As I say each week, we gather, and most of us gather because we've made that decision. We're here because we want to worship God. We've put our faith in Him, and yet life's still difficult. And we need to be reminded that being well isn't always about being physically well. This road to healing is about being right with God. And when I'm right with God, I've been made well in a way that prepares me for eternity. And God's healing in my life allows me to use the things that the people of the world would describe as disabilities for His glory, for His purposes. And God's desire for every one of us, as we walk this road of healing with Jesus, is that more than having our bodies healed of everything that bothers us, we would have our entirety of our being, our spirit, made right with God. That we would know the healing that heals us from the penalty of sin. And one day, when we see Jesus face to face, we are transformed. We become like Him in a body that never is sick, that never dies, in a place nothing's ever stolen, nothing ever rusts. Nothing ever falls apart. Everything is eternal. If you're here this morning and you need someone to pray with you, I always encourage you, if you find somebody near you, to say, hey, would you pray with me? And you can pray where you're at. You can go into one of these other rooms and pray together. You're always welcome during this song to join me in the room to my left as well, and we can pray. Find somebody after the service. Hey, could you pray with me today? We believe prayer is a powerful thing, as it reminds us of a God that loves us, a God that has made us whole, a God that embraces us, a God that wants us to live life for Him out loud. Would you stand as we sing?